It's just about 9 o'clock, straight up at 88.9 FM, KUCI, where for this next hour of programming, the opinions and views expressed are not necessarily those of KUCI, UC Irvine, or the University of California, Board of Regents. Time now for Talking Animals, KUCI.
Wander around like a crazy dog, make a mistake in the parking lot. Always bumping into things. Always lets you down, 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 down. Animals think they understand. Trusting them a big mistake. Animals want to change my life. Animals advice. Never there when you need them. Never there when you call them. Never there when you need them. Never there when you call them.
a hurry. They say that I don't need money. They like to laugh at people. They set no bad example. They think they know what's best. They're making a laugh at me.
Music from the Talking Heads with a song called Animals. As we slide into today's edition of Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine, streaming live, of course, on the internet at KUCI.org, and the whole enterprise, the whole enchilada, the whole shebang, the whole nine yards, still looking for something else we can put in that's the whole something, is broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine. I'm Duncan Strauss, and I'll be with you till 10 o'clock this morning with our program that is devoted to all subjects in the animal kingdom. Right off the bat, I'd like to tell you that for the next hour, you can reach us directly by phone at 949-824-5824, 949-UCI, KUCI. And I absolutely urge you to use that number. Call us at any point in the show. Don't be shy. I'm telling you, we'd love to get calls here at Talking Animals. You can also instant message us by way of AOL Instant Messenger, the screen name, not surprisingly, perhaps, Talking Animals. Other ways to be in touch, while less immediate, but still good otherwise, are emailing us at talkinganimals@AOL.com and checking out our website, of course, at talkinganimals.net. Again, make no mistake, that's .net, folks. Also, before we move on, I want to thank Serena Sharp for another provocative edition of the Serena Sharp Show. Meanwhile, here at Talking Animals, primarily we strive to learn about animals and animal issues from our guests, from news items, from your calls, from assorted other sources. But we're also here each week to celebrate animals through music, comedy, and other means. We aim for a reasonable balance of those elements, as you can readily glean by visiting our nifty website, talkinganimals.net, where nearly every show we've ever broadcast is archived. What do you think of that? Thanks to webmaster extraordinaire John Taylor. But clearly the heart of the program is the interview we conduct each week with some notable inhabitant of some province of the animal world. Today our guest is Darlene Arden, award-winning animal-oriented journalist and author, most recently of Unbelievably Good Deals and Great Adventures That You Absolutely Can't Get Unless You're a Dog. We'll get filled in on how she compiled such tidbits as one of the things I liked among many, many in the book, and it's got different categories. We'll get into all this, obviously, when Darlene joined us, but just the basic chapter: shop till you drop, health and grooming, feed me, read all about it, travel, arts and photos, training and daycare, offbeat. Under offbeat, for example, did you know that the Chicago White Sox have dog day afternoon where you can bring your dog to a game? I mean, there's all kinds of cool stuff. So anyway, we'll find out all about that. And Darlene actually does a lot of other things, has a lot of other interests, both animal-related and beyond. That we'll get into all those things when Darlene Arden joins us in a few minutes here on Talking Animals. Meanwhile, it's time for our weekly look at items of interest in animal news. I want to remind you of the phone number to join us on the show with your own comments and questions about animals. Not only this week's animal news items, of course, but also any other animal topic you'd care to discuss. Announcements, maybe you have an event, a fundraiser, benefits, animal-oriented coming up, or just observations, something going on in the animal world, or just personally with animals, any news stories obviously you might have spotted, All of that would be most welcome. Phone number is 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. And again, if you don't want to call, you're kind of a more an emailing online type, then again, you can do that by way of AOL Instant Messenger screen name, once again, Talking Animals. So, you probably know, typically these are local, regional, national, sometimes international animal stories of note that seem important to spotlight. And within, you'd love to get your comments on and discuss. We also try to include a few announcements of upcoming events or activities that you may want to pencil in on your calendar. So again, having done that, said that, whatever, let's talk turkey, as it were. Produced, as always, by the Talking Animals award-winning Rip and Read News Department. Here we go. Start off with a... kind of a rough and complicated one, taken from yesterday's LA Times. Headlined, Rancher Saddled with Problems. The subheadline is, Slick Gardener's Idea to Create a Refuge Fell Apart When More Than 500 Horses Were Seized Amid Allegations of Animal Cruelty. It starts off, it's from Buellton, California. For Slick Gardener, starting a horse sanctuary on his 2,000-acre ranch must have seemed like a great idea at the time. But that was before outraged animal lovers got together and before the county he once called, quote, the Soviet Union of Santa Barbara came down on him. It was before local officials conducted what they said was probably the largest seizure of neglected horses ever in the United States. And before Shoshone elders likened Gardner's treatment of their horses to the government's treatment of them. Now, Gardner, 57, who has pleaded no contest to felony charges of animal cruelty and grand theft, faces up to a year in jail and restitution of at least $220,000 to the county. Meanwhile, county officials who say they can't afford even temporary care for about 400 still homeless horses are relying on the kindness of volunteers for about $800 a day in hay and veterinary bills. At best, Gardner's story, which has as many sharp turns as the racetracks he used to drive, is one of good intentions gone terribly wrong. Gardner, who is to be sentenced October 6th, declined to be interviewed, but his attorney, Steve Balish of Santa Barbara, said his client wasn't quite the villain that the prosecutors had made him out to be. Quote, Slick really isn't a bad guy. It's not as if he's torturing animals. He simply can't feed them properly. And it goes on from there, but it's quite an extensive story. Find it online, I'm sure. Yeah, it was the LA Times yesterday. And hopefully there's also ways that... hadn't found as I was dashing out the door yet to see where people might send some money to help these horses in the interim, but I will try to look into that. And if anybody happens to know that or find that themselves, again, please call 949-824-5824 or I am us at Talking Animals AOL Instant Messenger. But sounds like a rough story for all involved. This also was taken from the LA Times, sort of an odd one in the turf of animal news. Headline, Guide Dog's Trail Leads to Court. Blind couple asked to pick up after the animals lose their harassment suit. This is from Indio, California. It would be hard to miss the piles left at the curb by Nebraska and Marna, a Labrador and Golden Retriever whose constitutionals have gotten on the nerves of residents in a local retirement community. And therein lies the stink. Nebraska and Marner are guide dogs that assist Dennis and Shirley Bartlett, a blind couple living in the Desert Grove development. Arguing that they were being harassed, the Bartlett sued the former president of their homeowners association in small claims court after he'd asked them to do a better job of cleaning up after their dogs. But a court commissioner ruled Wednesday against the Bartletts. Quote, I'm disappointed, said Shirley Bartlett. We do the best we can. The Bartlett said their dogs are trained to relieve themselves on the curb for easy pickup, but sometimes the dogs miss. There's no way the couple can tell where to clean. And, anyway, it goes on from there, but that's a tricky one. What do you do there? I mean, besides, you know, file a suit and get into what sounds like a pretty heated battle, but, I mean, really, what do you do in that case? I mean, it's not like they don't care. It's not like they're not trying to clean up after the dogs, and yet, you know, inherently, they're not always going to do so. So, thoughts, comments, 949-824-5824, 949-UCI-KUCI. Far more locally, and I found this disturbing for a number of reasons. This was in the Daily Pilot, actually, a couple, 3 days ago. Headline, vet denies allegations by shelter volunteers. Subhead is animal control officers initiate investigation even before complaints at Costa Mesa City Council meeting. And I'll just read a bit of it, but city animal control officers are investigating a Huntington Beach animal shelter after receiving complaints from former volunteers about starving animals and unsanitary conditions there. Costa Mesa Mayor Gary Monahan said he and other council members are concerned about the issue because the city has a three-year contract with the Orange County Humane Society in Huntington Beach. It pays the shelter to house stray animals. The city of Westminster has a similar contract with the Huntington Beach shelter. Depending on the results of the investigation, the city may have to consider terminating the contract, Monahan said. Quote, we're concerned about these complaints. The animals aren't being treated right, he said. The animal control officers initiated the investigation even before the volunteers came and complained at the August 6th council meeting, Monahan said. Quote, right now we're just waiting to see what comes out of that investigation, he said. The shelter fired its 85 volunteers as of August 30th, following differences of opinion between the volunteers and the management about how to run the shelter, said Samir Botros, the veterinarian who owns the shelter. Quote, the volunteers were beginning to interfere in everything from administrative issues to medical issues, he said. That's why we decided to do away with the volunteer program. They know nothing about medicine, but they want to stick their nose in everything. The Costa Mesa resident Carol Holland, who had been volunteering at the shelter for 6 months before she was terminated in August, said all that the shelter cares about is making money. Quote, what I saw there was simply disgusting, she said. They overcrowded one kennel, which is meant for one dog, with three dogs. Animals suffer because they don't get food and water. The shelter must close down, said Holland, who spoke at the Costa Mesa Councilman. She said shelter administrators don't attend to the medical needs of animals. The dog I walked, she goes on, had pus in his eyes for days, she said. I bugged them to give him meds, but they never gave him any. Anyways, boy, it doesn't sound good. In a weird twist, personally, I mean, this story ran like a day or two on the heels of my actually recommending this, because it is a humane society, it's Orange County Humane Society location in Huntington Beach, to a KUCI colleague who said she wanted to adopt a kitten. And every time we've been there, it's been really good. And when our cat Otis was missing for several days, I went there at least once a day, seeing if he might have been turned in. And over the years, I mean, been there quite a few times. Haven't noticed anything amiss, but it doesn't sound good, and it further doesn't sound good when a shelter fires its volunteer squad, much less some of the charges going back and forth. So we're going to monitor this just because it's in our backyard, but it also may have, larger implications, of course, as well. So, again, if you haven't known anything about that locally, if you're been a volunteer there and you're listening, and you have some thoughts, or if you're from the shelter and the guy that owns or runs it. Similarly, 949-824-5824-949-UCI-KUCI. Time now for our Animal News Quick Quiz feature. And as you probably know, it's a simple true-false question. Well, some are more simple than others, but at least the true-false part is simple. And the first person who calls in with the correct answer gets a prize. And these prizes range from, we just added, by the way, as one of the prizes for this and or later towards the end of the show when we do Name That Animal Tune, our other regular quiz feature. One of the prizes now available is the new DVD by Triumph, the Insult Comic Dog. We played some of the at least arable portions of his CD earlier in the show over the last several months. And tried desperately, frankly, to get Triumph to be a guest on the show. But so far it didn't seem to be happening. But, it may. But at either rate, hilarious, as always. And so that DVD is now one of the gifts you may select if you are the first person who calls in correctly to answer today's animal quiz. And if it's still available, and or... later, when we do Name an Animal Tune. But other prizes include books and CDs from our previous guests, ranging from Ian Anderson's CD, his recent solo album has a few animal songs on it. And of course, he was a guest on the show and quite an animal expert, as it turns out, himself. And a book by Shirley MacLaine, who's not yet been a guest, but again, as I've said a few times, this is a prize because the book was co-written by Shirley MacLaine's dog. And we've got leashes and safety collars and toys and necklaces with animal charms and another CD, Liberation CD. It's the new latest one that raises funds for PETA. Grab that, because among the bands contributing to that, Goldfinger, Good Charlotte, Desperacitos, The Used, Bigwig, Anti-Flag, on and on. So you could possibly select that. And another book that we have is Meatless Meals for Working People, and a bunch of other cool stuff. T-shirts, including one from Paws that says, cool drawing of an elephant, says elephants don't belong in circuses. You know, whatever. So, all right. So that's what you could win if you call in with the correct answer to this question, and again later when we get into Name That Animal Tune. Here we go. True or false? Fish do not have eyelids and cannot blink. True or false? 949-824-5824-949-UCI. And one more at least story before we move into the comedy corner, and then our guest Darlene Arden will be joining us, that I thought was quite interesting, that made the news last week. I'll read. I got this from Reuters. London is the dateline here. Man's best friend could also be a lifesaver in the fight against cancer. Scientists said on Friday, dogs can be used to detect bladder cancer by smelling urine. There was already anecdotal evidence of dogs alerting their unsuspecting owners of skin cancer by persistently sniffing suspicious moles, which were later diagnosed as malignant. Now, in research published by the British Medical Journal, scientists have shown dogs can identify bladder cancer by detecting chemicals in urine emitted by cancerous cells. Quote, dogs can be trained to detect some odor characteristics for bladder cancer, Dr. Carolyn Willis of Amersham Hospital in Buckingham in central England said in an interview, cancer cells are thought to give off organic compounds with distinctive odorous, they probably mean odors, that dogs can detect even in very small quantities. Willis and her colleagues trained six dogs of varying breeds and ages to identify urine samples from 36 bladder patients among 108 healthy volunteers. Each dog did 9 tests, which involved selecting the urine from a cancer patient from 6 other samples by lying down next to it. The dogs had an average success rate of 41%, which Willis said is significant because it would have been 14% by chance alone. So, pretty interesting. Pretty cool. All right, well, maybe we'll get into some more news and announcements if we have time later on, but we want to keep moving. And, of course, if there are ever any news stories or announcements or events you'd like to bring to our attention, please feel free to email us those items at talkinganimals@aol.com. We'd also love to encourage you to email us with comments about the show, suggestions of future guests, ideas about animal songs, comedy bits, and any other animal topic that's on your mind. That email, again, is talkinganimals@aol.com. And I'm pleased to remind you, yeah, it might be redundantly, but what the heck, about the Talking Animals website. We hope you'll check out the site, talkinganimals.net, again, .net, and sign up for the email list so we can keep you posted on upcoming guests and other announcements. You'll also find archives and synopses of all the shows, sorted photographs and articles, all kinds of links, other audio pieces and more. So please stop by and take a look around the site. Again, it's talkinganimals.net. It's time now to step into the Talking Animals Comedy Corner, which is always... of course, involves animal-oriented comedy. This is Steve Martin with a piece called Cat Handcuffs on today's Comedy Corner here on KUCI.
How many people have cats? So 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, 10. Now, let me ask you this. Do you trust them? Because I've got to get a pair of cat handcuffs, and I got to get them right away. Just the little ones that go around the little front paws. Or maybe the manacles of four that get all four paws. But what a drag. I found out my cat was embezzling from me. You think you know a cat for 10 years? He pulls something like this. Found out while I was away, he would go out to the mailbox, pick up the checks, take them down to the bank and cash them. Disguised as me. He had the little kitty arrow through the head. And the little kitty bunny ears. And I wouldn't have caught him, but I went outside to his house where he sleeps. And there was about $3,000 worth of cat toys out there. And you can't return them because they have spit all over them. So now I'm stuck with $3,000 worth of cat toys.
Oh, sure. They're fun. Got the little rubber mouse, has a bell inside of it. Boy, I hate it when it goes under the sofa.
Whoa, give me that, give me that, give me that.
All right, well, that was, of course, Steve Martin with a piece called Cat Handcuffs, taken from his album, A Wild and Crazy Guy. Comedy Corner is, of course, one of the signature features of Talk Animals. I'm Duncan Strauss, and you're indeed listening to Talking Animals on KUCI 18.9 FM, broadcasting from the University of California at Irvine. As many of you know, we also stream live on the Internet at KUCI.org. Some of you, no doubt, are listening that very way. And some of you, perhaps, arrive through our small website, TalkingAnimals.net. Let's listen to a bit more of this for one moment. I think we might have a full... All right, before we proceed, I'm blessed to remind you that the opinions and views expressed in Talking Animals are not necessarily those KUCI, UC Irvine, or the University of California Board of Regents. And also, while we get ready for speak with today's guest, Arlene Arden, but this is as good a time as any for a little additional animal tune of sorts. This is John Renborn with a piece called Goat Island. I'm Talking Animals here on KUCI. Listening to John Renborn in the background with Goat Island here on KUCI. And before we proceed, I want to, I think someone called in while we were getting Darlene on the phone who has a guess about our quiz question. So let me, are you there? Is our caller there? Hello?
Yes.
So, do you have a guess about the...
Yes, I think I do. I think I read that somewhere, but that's true.
Okay, and again, the question was, fish do not have eyelids and cannot blink, and you're saying it's true.
That's what I read somewhere a long time ago.
You're absolutely right. So
that's great.
Cool. So we want to get Darlene on the phone quickly. So if you don't mind, maybe just email us at talkinganimals@AOL.com, and we will figure out which prize you would like and how we can send that to you.
I'll be glad to do that. Thank you.
Great. Thanks
Bye-bye.
So much for calling. Bye-bye. All right. Meanwhile, earlier in the show, I mentioned this week's guest is Darlene Arden, who is a award-winning animal-oriented journalist and author, most recently of Unbelievably Good Deals and Great Adventures that you absolutely can't get unless you're a dog. But there's a lot more to the Darlene Arden story in terms of interests and pursuits and other stuff. We're going to hopefully get into all that, certainly focusing on the book, but those other topics as well. So let's remind everybody of the phone number to join us if you'd like to call in with a question for Darlene or to join the conversation. It's 949-824-5824, 949-UCI, KUCI. And then let's welcome Darlene Arden. Are you there, Darlene?
I'm here.
Great. Thanks so much for joining us on Talking Animals.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here with you today.
Great, great. Well, again, as I've alluded to, there's much to discuss about your new book, of course. That'll be the focus, and a slew of other topics, because really, I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff that you do and that you're interested in. But I frankly would love to start off talking about dog dancing, if we might.
Absolutely. Because, it's one of my passions.
Yeah.
You just hit on something I adore.
Excellent. Well, can you tell us a little bit about canine freestyle? What is it and how it got started for those of us who might not be as familiar as we should be?
Canine musical freestyle is a choreographed dance routine to music with your dog. And it started in, as most things do, things start in many places at once. The U.S., Canada, and the United Kingdom all had something starting. And there are groups throughout the United States, but the largest group is the World Canine Freestyle Organization. And I'm a judge and referee and advisory board member for this group. We have so much fun. The president and founder, Patty Ventry, calls it extreme obedience. It's really an offshoot of obedience.
Oh, yeah?
And it's a lot of trick training. And in this case, what I love about it is it's all about safety for the dog, having fun with your dog, bonding with your dog, and in for the dog's benefit as well as the bond is also, there's a healthy aspect to it because your dog is working on all four sides of you. So they're balanced. You know how some of we're all either right-handed or left-handed and we favor that side?
Sure.
Dogs do the same thing, but when they dance, they have to dance on all four sides. So veterinarians are discovering that they're better balanced.
Wow, and so Darlene, I mean, I actually think I've seen some of this in action, not necessarily in person, but I think, am I right in thinking that maybe the Today Show or something did a segment
Absolutely.
On this?
Yeah. The Today Show has done it. You've probably seen it on other shows on Animal Planet.
Yeah.
And if you go to the web, to worldcaninefreestyle.org, and scroll down the screen, there are some videos on there, and I highly recommend Attila and his border collie Fly doing their Hooray for Hollywood Charlie Chaplin routine, which I promise will knock your socks off.
Well, just, again, what I've seen, I mean, it not only looked just, of course, hilarious and amusing, but it also is hard to tell who was having more fun in these doggy dancing, the dog or the human companion. You know?
You've hit the nail on the head. I call it the dog smiling sport. Everybody's smiling, and the dog's smiling at both ends.
Yeah.
I've never seen so many dogs having such a good time. And any breed can dance, mixed breed. We have lots of rescues dancing. We also, in WCFO, have handy-dandy dancers, and that's for handicapped dogs or people, or both.
Mm.
We have a juniors program through that also goes through 4-H, and we have sassy seniors, and the sassy senior can be the dog, the human, or both.
I like it.
Oh,
that's
I've
great.
Seen some. We have an 80-year-old dancing with her Pomeranian who usually brings the house down. She's the one who will admit how old she is. I can't tell you how old some of our other seniors are.
Wow. And Darlene, from that same website that you gave us, I mean, is that where people could find where nearby to them there might be opportunities to participate in some
Absolutely.
Kind of...
Absolutely. They can find a place near them to participate. We have groups all over the country.
Great.
And you can email from there and join the discussion list on the Internet. And it's just, it's so much fun. And you can find competitions in your area so you can go and watch and see what it's about and talk to the people. And just get out and have a really good time with your dog.
That sounds wonderful. Well, somehow, I'm not sure if this is going to be for us or not, but it looks like we have a caller. Do you mind just taking a quick call in case it is for you already?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Hi, you're on the air live on KUCI with Darlene Arden. It's Talking Animals. Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon. This is Inge calling from Miami from the Release Company. I would like to have your email program director.
Okay, I'm sorry. You've actually called the on-air studio. If you could call back to the business line, that'd be great. All right. Sorry, Darlene. Well, you never
that's
know.
That's okay. I've had lots of experiences live on air, but that one's a first.
Sure. Well, we roll with everything here at Talking Animals.
Absolutely.
So, okay. Well, this is just fabulous, and that just sounds like so much fun, and I do want to check that out, and I'm sure some of our listeners will as well. But, and I want to get into, some of your myriad other interests and pursuits as well. Mm-hmm. But let's dive into the new book, Unbelievably Good Deals and Great Adventures That You Absolutely Can't Get Unless You're a Dog. And, I alluded to at the beginning of the show, but let me just, again, just hit it, starting with the chapters. Shop Till You Drop, Health and Grooming, Feed Me, Read All About It, Travel, Art and Photos, Training and Daycare, and sort of a catch-all at the end called Offbeat, and it truly is. And it's a great, great book, darling. But, I mean,
thank you.
In the first paragraph of the first page, you make it clear that you're a shopaholic when it comes to buying stuff for your animal companions. Was that kind of a key impetus and a jumping-off point for writing the book? Or, I mean, how did you first say, hey, you know what, let's get a cool compendium of all kinds of neat stuff for dog people?
There was just so much stuff out there, and there was more than even I realized until I started researching, but I knew there was a lot to share.
Yeah.
And I knew it was international, and even I had my mind blown. Until it reached a point where my editor said to me, Darlene, please just back away from the computer.
stop, Darlene.
Stop, yeah. We only have so many pages. It was so much fun. I found everything from a place that will bronze your dog's paw prints in England.
Wow.
To a way that you can go on the internet, you can become a border collie and you can herd sheep on the computer.
You mean,
there are places.
You as a human can
you the
can
human.
Become
it's an internet kind of game.
Program, yeah, okay.
It's an internet program where you can go to a website and you're the dog. You have to figure out how to herd the sheep into the pens.
Wow.
Which is an awful lot of fun, especially on a rainy or snowy day if you live where I do. I mean, I'm in New England, so, for me it's either that or scream bloody murder out the window,
sure.
when I'm snowbound. Things like, Carmel, California has the first doggy drinking fountain, the Fountain of Woof.
Yes, that's
right. You can take your dog to the dog chapel in Vermont. You can go to dog camps all over the country.
Yeah.
You can go on tours with your dog or without your dog. Without your dog, you could go visit the Dog Collar Museum in Leeds, England. You can do a tour of all kinds of statues that are tributes to famous dogs.
It's so great, and one of the other things, just as one of the many samples that we'll get into, but that I mentioned also at the top of the show, was just something like under Offbeat that the Chicago White Sox Dog Day Afternoon. I mean, that's just so great. I mean, it's basically, one day in the season, the Chicago White Sox invite you to bring your dog friends to enjoy a game.
Exactly.
I mean,
how fun is that? And how about Dog Scouts of America, where your dog can earn merit badges just like any other child, except your kid has four legs.
Yeah, and again, I mean, just so, and again, we'll probably, cover this by the time we're done on the book, but, I mean, there's certainly also lots of very cool, serious, helpful stuff. I mean, under health and grooming, really great stuff. This, for example, this Tops Veterinary Rehab really kind of caught my eye. Maybe you could talk a little bit about that, Darlene, for example.
Well, if you have, with a lot of dog sports, people don't stop and think the dogs could end up with the same sports injuries that they themselves get.
Yeah.
And this is just one of those advanced veterinary rehabilitation centers in the United States. They opened in 1998. It was opened by a woman veterinarian named Laurie McCauley, who lectures nationally and internationally about veterinary rehabilitation. And they offer everything from hydro treadmill therapy, to, in fact, it's the world's first one for dogs, to therapeutic ultrasound, cryotherapy, neuromuscular stimulation, acupuncture. Acupuncture you can find pretty much around the country.
Yeah.
It's becoming much more popular.
Sure.
but aquatic bioelectric therapy. I mean, you know, I wish I were a dog and could take advantage of this place.
Yeah, no, it really sounded amazing. Like you say, I mean, you know, acupuncture, acupressure for animals, not uncommon, but this sounds like, especially if you have a dog who's really maybe struggling, particularly with you know, some kind of movement or ailment like that, that's where you want to go. And in each case, I should also point out that in each entry, really, you know, you have email, phone, website, if it applies, actual, you know, snail mail address for each place. So if you want to follow up and chase down more info, it's right there. And let me again remind our listeners, this is Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine. We're speaking with Darlene Arden, whose latest book is Unbelievably Good Deals and Great Adventures That You Absolutely Can't Get Unless You're a Dog. We're discussing that right now. We'd love to have you join the conversation with any questions for Darlene, 949-824-5824. And, Darlene, let me ask you, is the first chapter your favorite just based on your confession right off the bat of being a shopaholic, or do you kind of not, as like children, you don't have a favorite chapter?
I really don't have a favorite. It depends upon what you need and what you want to do with the time. I mean, I'm glad you discovered some of the serious stuff. One of the things I address is how to ship a dog by air if you can't carry the dog aboard. I mean, if you have a dog who weighs more than 21 pounds, how do you handle this for safety?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you evaluate a dog park? But I have to tell you, the shopping was amazing to me. I mean, it was a case of picking and choosing because I didn't have enough space to put everything in. I mean, just the first entry with Ajoli yarn motifs where you and your dog can have matching flings. And she creates it so that the scarf won't slip off. It slides into around the collar.
Yeah.
So it's safety, but it's also, I mean, if you live in a cold climate and you've got a tiny dog or even a large dog that, you know, needs a little extra help.
Sure.
That's pretty practical.
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I also found things like, you know, for the older dog who can't quite make it into the car to go with you, the ramps and the step-ups and those kind of things.
Yeah.
And then there are lots of places with doggy bakeries. I started to think I was the only person in the whole United States who did not have her own doggy bakery.
Well, yeah, they are pretty extensive. And another thing that seems to be growing, and as you know, sort of represented in your book, is the not only, of course, all the various training places and approaches, but places you can, you know, stay. You know, doggy hotels, places you can take your dog and have a very nice vacation visit, whatever you want to call it. I mean,
it's incredible. One of the things that I loved about it are the places that are really catering to your dog. And as long as you're a good dog owner and leave the place in good condition, it, you know, that will continue for all of us. We'll all be able to enjoy that. And a lot of these places are also cat-friendly if you like to travel with your cat as well as your dog, or your cat instead of your dog.
Yeah, in fact, I was going to say that so far with the way our conversation has gone and you know, some of the things that you do, which hopefully we'll have time to touch on, including speaking about toy dogs and small dogs and other things. But yeah, you're not just canine centric. You like cats, and in fact, you've been very involved with cats as a writer. And do you have, in fact, can you tell us how many animals live with you? I know some people don't like to say it because it's sometimes well beyond the legal.
Well, I wish I could say that I have well beyond the legal limit, but at the moment, my life being the way it is and some personal issues with a family situation, I'm only living with one animal at the moment.
All right.
And she is of the feline persuasion, so
really?
First time I've had a cat, without having a dog.
Yeah, interesting.
And, but she is so dog-like, which was in the breed description. I thought, yeah, and I'll be the judge of that.
Right.
She's a retired show cat. She's a Chartreuse, and she fetches with more enthusiasm than most retrievers. She does a version of the Singletary footwalk, which is a canine musical freestyle step. She comes when I call her. She meets me at the door. She is basically a dog in a cat suit. But I am multicultural. I love anything. As Betty White says, I love anything with a leg on each of four corners and the occasional tripod. So, I would love to add a dog, and at some point I will. But right now, I don't have the time to train one the way I want to.
Sure, sure. Darren, looks like we might have another call, and let's hope it's actually intended for you. Hold on. Hi, you're on the air live on KUCI. It's Talking Animals with Darlene Arden.
Hi, I have a question for the caller.
Sure.
Is there any particular airline that you find treats animals better than other airlines?
I don't think there's one in particular. I think you have to be a very aware owner and make sure you do your follow-up when you talk with them. Are you talking about shipping one or carrying one on board?
Well, our dog is a little too large to put on the plane, I mean inside the plane. But you just hear all these horror stories and stuff.
You have to really follow through, and I have some tips in there about what to pack, how to talk to people. Make sure you see the dog being boarded. Make sure you talk to everybody along the way. Make sure the pilot's notified that your dog is there. Make sure there's heat in that section. Just be a royal pain in the neck to them.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call.
They're actually, someone wants to follow up a little bit on that. I hope she's still listening.
Yeah.
There are some airlines that are absolutely wonderful. It's not in particular. It's just a lot of people are really dog lovers.
Yeah.
And, you know, you'll find that they are taking very good care. It's unfortunate when there's a bad incident because that's what gets all the play.
Yeah.
And all the attention, and
for
then
sure.
People are really worried about it. And you should be concerned because you're responsible for that life. But as long as you follow through, hand a note to the pilot. Make sure the pilot knows the dog is on board.
Yeah. That's
and write, with a little thank you. Just have that prepared. And if you can't hand it to the pilot, give it to the flight attendant to give to the pilot.
That's a great idea. I mean, I don't think any of us, even that sometimes travel with animals, wouldn't necessarily have thought of the note to the pilot. And this reminds me, darling, another thing I thought that was really cool on this very topic is Companion Air.
Isn't that fun?
Can you talk a little bit about that?
And they are set up just to fly animals and their human companions. And they have a whole section at the back of the plane that's set up for the animals, and the owners can go back there one or two at a time. You get to take turns with the other owners and visit with your dog, cat, whatever. And I just think it's a great idea. I mean, I've often thought that they should have more animals in the cabin.
Yeah.
And fewer, basically, I'm going to lose some of your listeners for you, but fewer nasty children who are screaming and yelling and pulling my hair, thank you very much.
Yeah, pounding on the seat.
Pounding on the seat. I've been kicked. I've had my hair pulled, but I have been on board flights with multiple animals on board, and no one knew they were there.
Nice. Hey, where does Companion Air... I mean, are there specific routes or regions that they do this?
They are so new, and I believe they're down in Florida.
Right, yeah. I think you would have to check
with them directly.
Okay.
The contact information is there, but because they're new, they're just starting to gather their roots.
Sure. And also, Darlene, under Chapter 2, for example, health and grooming, I mean, not surprisingly, there's a nice portion of stuff devoted to pet insurance, and there seems to be a bit of a debate about the pros and cons of having pet insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you sort of come down on that? I mean, do you have it for your feline friend? By the way, we never heard her name. What's her name?
Oh, I'm sorry. Her name is Amy.
Amy, okay.
Well, A-I-M-E-E. It's the friend.
I don't yet, but
I'm seriously considering it. The difference with pet insurance, I think the decision becomes which one does your veterinarian take, and are you very good at putting aside a separate amount of money while your pet is healthy to save for an emergency?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you can start a pet savings account, which I highly recommend, and just keep adding to it when you don't have the problem, you should be okay if there is a problem. However, huge caveat here.
Yeah.
If your dog accidentally gets out and is, God forbid, hit by a car and now needs maybe a hip replacement surgery.
Mm-hmm.
Major orthopedic surgery can run into the thousands. If it's an accident, the insurance will cover it.
Yeah, so that's...
At that point, insurance is extremely helpful.
Sure.
But, you know, it's a case of deciding, do you want the gamble? It's like our own health insurance.
Yeah.
Do you want to pay them the money and gamble on something happening? Or would you rather be really conscientious about putting the money aside?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess you're saying is if you are, you know, capable and disciplined enough of kind of almost creating your own personal insurance fund for your animal companions, that's probably at least as good a way. But it sounds like you said, the hit by the car example, boy, what a great scenario then to have that kind of insurance.
Exactly, and you have to decide your lifestyle
and
what's going to work best for you and your companions, but you are responsible for them.
Sure.
And those expenses can come up, and I think most people, when they have a young, healthy animal, aren't counting on that. They're not thinking ahead to that.
Right, and of course, that's the time when you would really need to pursue it. Otherwise, I think it'd either be wildly expensive or even not available if your animal was, you know, older than that.
Isn't right. It's a good time to start thinking about it. Start exercising your options. Look at them at least.
Yeah.
Investigate. I mean, I have some places to start in the book.
Yeah. No.
And then you have to make your own decision.
Sure. Well, Darlene, we're sort of nearing the end of our time, but I want to hit a bit more about the book and a bit more about you, if we can squeeze all that in. So let me just ask you, in terms of Offbeat, Chapter 8, what's from your standpoint, what's the most offbeat of the offbeat?
You know, that depends upon what you yourself consider offbeat.
Sure. I have the beholder, no doubt. Yeah.
I mean, if you think animal communication is just the way to go, then you're not going to think it's offbeat. If you think it's kind of whoa, then you're going to say, oh my gosh, you've got what in here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything from walks for animals, which aren't particularly offbeat. It's just that that was a good place to put it.
Sure.
Fundraisers, where you can go out and help other animals with yours. Television shows that you and your animal might be able to appear on, you and your dog.
Yeah.
Radio dog shows. Horoscopes.
Yeah.
How about a pet driver's license?
Yeah, well, now tell us about that. Exactly.
Well, that's pretty practical because they will do the company will do a driver's license based on, you know, that will look like one from your state. But if you think about it, you've got the picture of your dog.
Mm-hmm.
You have some information there. It's a good thing to carry with you in case your pet gets lost.
Sure. Yeah.
So that becomes practical, even though it looks a little, you know, funny.
Goofy
or some
at
people
first.
May think a little goofy. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
But
great.
There's all kinds of great stuff in here. I had entirely too much fun.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I mean, just collecting all those resources and hunting down. And again, it's, you know, it's international in scope. So, I mean, it's it just must have been a blast to put this together. You know?
I had entirely too much fun.
Yeah.
And it's just such a fun kind. Somebody said to me it was great bathroom reading.
Okay. All right. No, I can
and
see what
somebody
they
else
mean.
Thought it was going to make the ultimate Christmas gift.
Yeah. No, really, I mean, anybody who cares even remotely about dogs, this would be a great gift, Christmas or otherwise, because, again, no matter kind of what you do with your dog and really where you live, because, again, there's resources across the country and then other countries as well, so it'd be pretty hard to miss for anybody that lives with or loves dogs, you know? So,
right. Oh, thank you. Yes, I kind of feel that way about it.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm glad you agree.
For sure.
There are so many fun things in here, and there's so much to do. Things that you can shop for yourself, for your dogs, things that are kind of dog-oriented.
Yeah.
And you can shop internationally. I mean, if you want to, who's going to stop you? How about magazines and newspapers devoted to dogs?
Sure.
Trips that you can take, tours. You know, Rovin' with Rover in the Midwest or Fresh Pond Travel will take you to dog shows with or without your dog.
Yeah, no,
you can travel the world.
Yeah, Metropolis. I mean, there's you randomly grab a page and it's just like Health Mutts and
And Metropolis is in your neck of the woods. They have two places in Southern California.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have a lounge so your dog can sit and watch dog related movies while you're shopping.
So great.
Who would have thought of that? You know, some of it is just so cool.
Yeah,
I had such fun, and they do have a website, so you can go surf the website. Beds that are just so wonderfully exotic and dishes that look like artwork. I mean, I am blown away. I even found the place, and they are in California, that made the dog and cat bowls for the White House, personalized ones.
Nice. Wow, so, that's a claim to fame for sure.
Well, you know, your pet, too, can drink out of the same kind of bowls,
yeah.
You know, and eat out of the same kind of bowls that are at the White House.
Sure. Are they oval-shaped by any chance? Or
I don't know. I should have asked if they have some to match the Oval Office.
That's right. Well, speaking of websites, we want to be sure to mention that your own website is DarleneArden.com. It's Darlene, D-A-R-L-E-N-E, Arden, A-R-D-E-N.com. And there's just a bunch of stuff, including things about your other books. And I guess, let's hit at least quickly some of the other stuff that you do beyond the doggy dancing that we've covered and this cool book that's your latest. You speak on toy and small dogs. And
I do. That's my area of expertise, is dogs 20 pounds and under.
Yeah.
And their behavior issues. I'm also involved in producing and hosting a cable show in New England. And
yeah, that sounds cool, creatively speaking. And maybe tell us, give us at least the nickel tour of that and what happens and who you have on and that kind of thing.
It's basically talking heads. It's a 30-minute talk show. One half of it is always an author. The other half could be musicians, artists. It's basically bringing the creative process to the people and showing them what people are about. I've had some very famous authors on, everybody from Ann Rivers Siddons to Robert Dolinsky, Jill McCorkle, Elizabeth Berg. I mean, there've been a wealth of really wonderful, fun people, and getting to know them and their creative process has just been a blast. I really have entirely too much fun doing that.
Yeah, well, I have to say that, that reminds me that I'm just sort of trying to acquaint myself a bit with your background and what all you do. It really became apparent that you're someone who's combined, you know, her passions into what appears to be just a wonderful, multifaceted career in life, and that you're having a blast. I mean,
I am having a great time. And anytime you can find something that will let you, you know, legally sit on the floor with animals, and you've got a good excuse because, hey, that's part of the job.
Sure.
You know, I mean,
that's a good gig.
And helping people take better care of their animals. The Angel Memorial Animal Hospital Book of Wellness and Preventive Care for Dogs, which just came out in paperback, it was last year's hardcover, allowed me to tell people how to create a wellness program for their dog based on their lifestyle, their dog, and the place where they live.
Yeah, and it's such a great, you know, again, it's an obvious concept, but much like sort of the pet insurance we were talking about, I mean, you don't necessarily think in terms of that for our animal friends, and yet you should, because it makes so much sense. Hey, if your dog is being cared for better, eating better, just being a little more careful like we all are, especially as we, you know, advance in years, it's, of course, totally logical. And, yeah, that's another, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I wanted to mention that book before we had to say goodbye here. So, again, that information and how to order and stuff all can be found on DarleneArden.com, or there'll be links, et cetera. And, I mean, there's just so much to what you do and what you've done, Darlene. I don't think we can shoehorn it all in, but we've hit most of the key points, I think.
I think. What a pleasure to speak with you today. It's just been a joy.
Thank you, Darlene. Likewise, and again, the book is Unbelievably Good Deals, the latest book, I should say, Unbelievably Good Deals and Great Adventures That You Absolutely Can't Get Unless You're a Dog. And, I mean, it's as we've already, I think, covered or at least hinted at, it's really cool, really comprehensive. It's a total blast. Any dog lover, I think, would be just thrilled to have it, and any dog lover's dog would be thrilled to have their companion have it, because there's all kinds of cool treats and adventures that await. So, Darlene, thank you so much for joining us today on Talking
Animals. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thanks for the pleasure of being your company.
All right. Likewise. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. I want to thank again Darlene Arden, and one last time, the book, Unbelievably Good Deals and Great Adventures That You Absolutely Can't Get Unless You're a Dog. Website, of course, DarleneArden.com. I'm Duncan Strauss. You're listening to Talking Animals on KUCI. And, let's see. Yeah, we're going to try to blast through Name That Animal Tune, and I think you know how that works. Generally, it's like any other version of Name That Tune, except in this game, the tunes are always animal-related. I'll play a snippet. There'll be a prize, like there was earlier in the show. This is the same prize we mentioned. And for the first caller who correctly identifies this song, so as soon as you recognize this animal tune, please phone us, 949-824-5824-949-UCI. Hey, UCI. Catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away, and he was talking for a new age. And as he grew, he'd say, I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you. And the cat's in the cradle and a silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when. All right, if you can name an animal tune, now's your chance. 949-824-5824-949-UCI-KUCI. I'm Duncan Strauss. We have just about reached the end of this week's edition of Talking Animals. I want to remind you that the views and opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of KUCI, UCI, or the University of California Board of Regents. And I want to thank again our guest, Darlene Arden, DarleneArden.com. One last time, Unbelievably Good Deals and Great Adventures That You Absolutely Can't Get Unless You're a Dog. I just want to thank you all for listening and for our cool phone calls that we received. Next Monday, our guest will be Sybil Erden, director of the Oasis Sanctuary, a rescue and retirement facility for exotic and endangered birds. So hope you'll join us for that on Talking Animals next Monday, October 4th. And by the way, other Ray Public Affairs shows on KUCI include just today alone the Serena Sharp Show, which of course precedes Talk Animals. Then at 5 p.m. we offer Planetary Radio with Matt Kaplan, followed at 5:30 by Counterspin. That's just Monday. There's great public affairs programming and talk shows like that virtually each weekday, 8 to 9 and 9 to 10 in the morning. Then again from 5 to 6 in the afternoon. On the music side of the KUCI schedule, I also host a show called The Dead Air Zone, which just moved today to Monday nights from 6 to 8 p.m., and it's truly eclectic, from Afrobeat to Zydeco. Yeah, that's A to Z, pal. So when you have a chance some Monday night, please check that out. Also, I urge you to check out our website, talkinganimals.net. When you get there, please sign up for our email list so we can alert you to guest bookings and other events and announcements. I also encourage you to email me with comments, guest suggestions, ideas about show topics, songs, comedy bits, news stories, and anything else you'd like to pass along at talkinganimals@AOL.com. Really look forward to hearing from you. Seriously, I really do. Please stay tuned for Jeff Scott and the Blues Disease, his great, great, great blues show here on KUCI. This has been Talking Animals on 88.9 FM KUCI in Irvine. I'm Duncan Strauss. Thanks very much for listening. Have a good week. Be kind to animals. Be kind to others. Be kind to yourself. And as always, we're going to close things out here with an animal-related tune. This is Southern Culture on the Skids with a song called Camel Walk. We'll catch you next week. I'm Talking Animals.